So we have an open mic. That means you can come and share your opinion with the university community here. I'm going to go ahead and interview one of our staff members, Claire. Claire Rice is from Colorado. And Claire, what are you doing here?
I am talking to people about abortion to try to see if we can find common ground on the issue.
So why did you bring this why do you need this exhibit?
Well, the exhibit helps show people what life in the womb looks like, as well as death by abortion, and it's a good catalyst for conversation.
So if somebody had asked you, like, why are you pro-life, what would you say to them? I mean, what if you just had, I don't know, like half a minute or something?
Well, I would say that I think human beings are valuable, and I think that unborn human beings are just as valuable as born human beings, and that they should be protected and have a right to life just like born human beings do.
So how do you know that the unborn is a human being?
Well, we know that biologically it's a whole human organism, and that it's growing, so it's alive, and that it has human parents, so that it's a human being. Are you looking for more than that?
Isn't it just an issue of women's rights, though? Would you like to talk on the open mic? Okay. Great. What's your thought?
Well, I'm really offended by this whole thing. Like, I shouldn't have to see this when I'm walking to class, you know? Like, it's cool if you want to do this, but, like, your, like, disclaimer signs, like, that's a complete joke. You can see this from everywhere, and it's just really offensive, and, like, I'm really offended by the whole thing as, like, a woman, you know? Because it's my decision, and if you don't want to have an abortion and you're so against it, then just don't have one, you know? But leave it as an option for everyone else. You don't have to ruin it, like, for everyone else. And it's not like people want to have abortions, ever. It's like a horrible decision for a woman to have to make, so, you know. Don't try to make these women, like, feel like shit for having one. It's really not fair, and it's offensive.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Would you characterize yourself as pro-choice?
Definitely.
So, are you pro-choice through all 9 months, or only to a certain point?
No, first trimester only. Like, at a certain point, it is like a baby, and it's kind of like, you know, it's alive. But in the first trimester, like, I'm definitely pro-choice.
Well, if you're willing, by the way, what's your name?
Alex.
Alex, one thing that is kind of a passion of ours is to create dialogue among people who disagree. And this is Claire from the Justice for All staff. And you said you were pro-choice. She's pro-life. So you have some disagreements. But what I think would be really interesting, if you're willing, and you don't have to do this, but if you're willing, I think it'd be interesting if I could just stand here and hold the mic and just we could watch you dialogue a little bit.
Okay. I mean, I just want to put in my 2 cents and just say that a lot of people find this really offensive that I've talked to. I think it's really disgusting that people are doing this and trying to force this upon people to have to stare at all day. I don't know. I have class anyway. I can't really do that, but...
Okay, well, thanks for sharing with us. Who would like to be next on the open mic? Who would like to be next? So we heard some different opinions there in the span of just, like, 2 minutes. So what's your opinion? Who would like to be next on the open mic? What do you think?
Honestly, I'm pro-life, but I don't completely agree with this display.
So why don't you agree with the display?
It's too public. It's a personal decision.
And why would you say you're pro-life? What does that mean to you?
Well, the reason I am is because I was put up for adoption. I could have easily been, me and my sister could have easily been aborted. But now we're with a great family and never been better. But still, it was a pretty personal decision for my mother to make the decision not to.
So for you, one thing that I've heard out here a lot is people will say, well, I can't give my child up for adoption, or I don't believe that adoption's necessarily a good option because those kids are just going to be abused when they get adopted. So can you just speak to that from personal experience?
I've never been hit, never been spanked, nothing. I've got amazing parents. Adoption is the choice if you're going to do anything.
So there's at least one of the thousands of children who have been adopted, at least two, who were not abused in the process. So that's just good for us to think about. When you say you're pro-life, does that mean that you think abortion should not be legal, or does that mean that you just personally are pro-life?
I think there are certain cases where it is acceptable, such as the mother is in danger or the child is in danger. Otherwise, I believe that pro-life is the choice. I don't know if everyone feels that way. Obviously not. But for me, it's my choice. I'm not here to force it on anyone else.
So you would not make a law against abortion if you had the chance?
No, I don't believe I would. I'm all for people, and people have the right of making their own decisions, freedom to do whatever they want. I can only say, give my 2 cents like everyone else is doing, and my 2 cents is that I don't think it's right, but everyone's different.
So would you say that, would you apply that same thinking to really any issue of where someone is being killed? Do you believe that abortion kills a human?
After a certain point, so far along in the process.
So at the beginning, most abortions happen at about 6 or 7 weeks, maybe a little earlier. Would you say that those abortions kill a human or not?
I say maybe anywhere past the 5th or 6th week, it would be.
So at the 5th or 6th week and before, what is that that's being killed by abortion prior?
It's not fully developed yet, so it doesn't technically have a fully functional body yet.
Okay, I have another question for you, but just if you're listening in, we have an open mic. That means anyone in the university community can come up and share what they think. And sometimes we dialogue on the mic, but you can also just come and say what you think and move on as well. It's totally up to you. So the perspective that you just shared is that once the child once the embryo develops enough, then they would be called a human. And before they're developed, I'm still trying to get clear on what do we have, say, at 3 weeks when the heart starts to beat. What do we have?
It's a baby bean. That's how my older sister described it.
A baby bean?
Because it's not a full human yet.
So is it an organism at that point?
That's for science to determine.
Okay, and so if I could give you some scientific evidence on that question, would that be helpful to you?
Possibly, but right now I'm gotta go on my way.
No problem. Good to talk to you. Thanks for sharing. And one piece of scientific evidence that might be helpful to you if you're listening is that Overhelion-Mueller is the standard embryology text used in college embryology classes in America, and it states that although life is a continuous process, fertilization is a critical landmark. And then they go on to give a reason why. Because at fertilization, a new unique human organism comes into existence. Now, that organism, of course, is a bundle of cells. It looks like just like a little microscopic orange with fungus on it at implantation. But it is developing itself through all the stages of human development. It's integrating its body systems for the good of the whole. And that's why Overhelion and Mueller say it's an organism, even at the fertilization stage. So who would like to be next on the open mic? This is just an open mic. Anybody can say what they want. They can ask questions. They can just give an opinion, sound off.
I have a question. If you didn't have a heartbeat, would you be alive?
Me?
Yes, you.
If I did not have a heartbeat, I would be dead.
Definitely. So,
I guess it would take, I mean, we'd have to say, if I didn't have a heartbeat, and then we'd have to give some qualifications or qualifiers, like for a certain amount of time, and they weren't able to revive me and restart my heart, et cetera, et cetera. But yes, if I didn't have a heartbeat for, say, a day, I would be dead.
So, when there's not a heartbeat, you can't say you're killing a child, because it really wasn't a child there yet. Could you say that?
Well, you're right that at implantation, there is no heart. The heart starts to form in the next few days, and then you have a functioning primitive heart. It's not a four-chambered heart, but it's a primitive heart at about 3 weeks, about 21 days. So before that period, you don't have a heart. That's correct. I don't think that makes the unborn or the embryo not an organism or not human or not living, though, because it's clearly living. Sperm and egg are alive. They come together to produce something that's alive, that grows throughout the stages of human development.
I mean, I just believe that if there's a heartbeat, there's a human. If there's not a heartbeat, it's still not a human. It's like, I'll just say, when you jack off, sperm comes out, and it's the exact same thing as when it goes inside the girl. In the girl, you know, it's not a living. It's not alive. When you see all these protests and they call people killers and stuff like that, they can't be killers because you're not even killing a human being because there's not a heartbeat yet. That's what I feel about that. Once there's a heartbeat, yeah, abortion is wrong. But if there's not a heartbeat yet, I mean, there's really nothing wrong with it. That's how I feel.
So abortion at after 3 weeks would be a 5-week abortion or after, because there's a 2-week difference in how we calculate the age of the child and the age of a pregnancy. So a 5-week abortion and after, would you agree with me that we should make that illegal?
I agree. I believe that once there's a heartbeat, there's a living organism inside of you, and there shouldn't be abortion. But before that, you should take care of it. And if you didn't, it was because you were irresponsible. And don't say there's protection and things like that, but sometimes those things fail, like birth control fail, condoms fail. And if you're mature about it and take care of your business, you're going to know that you're pregnant 3 weeks in. So if you take care of it then, I feel like it's all right. But once there's a heartbeat, that's when it's wrong.
And what's your name?
Rolando.
Rolando, I'm Steve. And so it sounds like you and I we agree on about 1 million abortions a year. There's about 1 million abortions, actually more than that, that are at the 5-week stage and after. In fact, almost all surgical abortions take place at that stage or after. So can we agree that almost all abortions should be illegal then?
I feel like most of them, I feel like once you have to go to the doctor and she has to be put down and stuff like that, that is wrong. The abortion pill, you can take it, 3-4 weeks in?
Are you talking about RU486, the abortion technique that's a two-pill chemical technique?
The pill that dissolves in your mouth and it goes in through your saliva glands and then... Yeah, that one.
Okay. Well, there's different pills that people take that people talk about in this debate, and that's why I was asking to clarify. RU486 is a two-pill technique, mifepristone and then misoprostol. Mifepristone detaches an embryo from the uterus, and misoprostol causes a woman to expel that dead embryo, or the embryo that's in the process of dying. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I think so. I think it is. It's called the abortion pill. That's pretty much how it's called.
Well, some people are also concerned about morning after pills. That's a different technique.
No, I'm not. I know the morning after pill is a different thing from the abortion pill. The abortion pill, you have 3 months. The day after pill, you have 47 hours.
Yeah, and I think you're right that you have from about 4 weeks to 9 weeks gestation, that would be a 2-week child to a 7-week child, to use the RU486 technique. And so even most of RU486 abortions are after heartbeat has started. So I don't think that, do you agree with those abortions?
I just agree that if you're going to be having sexual relationships, you should be responsible. And once you're late, doesn't matter if it's a day, 2 days, go take a pregnancy test. And
you don't have time to do it.
Excuse me?
future dialogue.
In 3 weeks, most women don't have enough time to be late, you morons.
I mean, you...
28 days. 21 days is not enough to even figure out you're pregnant.
How many days do you have to figure out that you're not pregnant?
Women's cycle is every 28 days. If she just finished a cycle and got pregnant, she wouldn't have enough time in 21 days to have missed a period.
If she's late,
she wouldn't be late. She wouldn't be late yet.
What I'm saying is, her period's supposed to be, let's say, the second, and she doesn't get her period, and 2 weeks later, she can't be pregnant.
She could have got pregnant right after finishing her period, okay? So her next period isn't for 28 days. The 21-day period you're talking about, her period's still not due for another week.
Most of them don't ovulate until 11 to 14.
She's saying most women don't ovulate until day 11 or 14.
You can get pregnant during any of that time, though.
You can't. The percentage that do at such an early time after the period, they don't ovulate then. General ovulation is between 11 and 15 days is when you're going to get your conception. And they're 2 weeks later, is not always, not 100%. Of course not. Not everyone has red hair, but people do.
The only 100% contraceptive that works is not doing anything. Everything else has a failure rate. And as soon as you grow a friggin' uterus, you can tell me what to do with mine.
Are you saying that I don't have a uterus?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure neither one of you do.
How do you know that?
Do you want to do an exam right here?
No, not actually, I don't. I'll go ahead and divulge the private details of my life. I do not have a uterus. So how is that relevant to our discussion?
Because you can't get pregnant. You don't know. And a lot of people who think they know what they would do in instances, because I used to have to talk to a lot of them. A lot of women who think they know that they're pro-choice or they're pro-life, when it actually happens and they have to face that decision, may find themselves making a decision against what they thought they could do.
I think you're exactly right that many women who say, I'm pro-life, end up having abortions when they get into the situation. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they need to make the decision that's best for them. And whether it's keeping the baby or whether it's aborting the baby, that's a very personal decision. And I don't think they need asses like you shoving anything down their throat. I think that's a personal decision. I think that everybody's capable of making their own decision. And I don't think there's anything wrong with letting people know there's two sides to an issue. But it's legal in this country, still, thank God. And there's no reason to scare the hell out of people for no particular reason other than you guys are grandstanding and trying to make something illegal that should be. You want it to go back to going into coat hangers and seeing people die for no good reason, or should it be under medical care where it's a fairly safe operation for the woman? Well, you know what? That's a woman's choice to make. And it sure as hell be, you know what, all you people that are so pro-life, what happens when these people keep the children? You don't want to help support the children as they grow up. Because nobody does. Look at the Republican Party that are really anti-taking care of anybody.
I just like to speak to that because 22 years ago, we were blessed with the most amazing daughter through the gift of adoption. Okay, her mom made a sacrifice, carried her for 9 months, gave life to her, and made a difficult decision to place her for adoption. And let me share this part with you because I think this is what's so amazing. You talked to that 22-year-old, beautiful woman now, and I asked her, she said, you know, Mom, I would like to be able to meet my birth mom to simply thank her for the gift of my life.
So in this situation, and I actually kept my child, but it was my choice to keep it. I worked with other young women who made the other choice.
Could you imagine this?
Wait a minute. Who had to make the other decision? That was their choice. They knew what was best for their life at the time. I worked with one young lady who had a full ride to college. She knew that if she took, she had the abortion, she could go on, finish college, be able to raise a family, be able to have a job that she could support herself in. She knew otherwise that she'd be making minimum wage the rest of her life and be struggling, and she didn't know how she was going to feed this child.
And
decided for her, the best choice for her was to have the abortion.
Could a better choice have been giving that baby life and then sharing the gift of... A gift of it, because let me just say this.
For her, it wasn't, because she would have lost her scholarship.
Well, let me say this. Let me say this though. I think what you brought up here is a really important point, and that is that the situations that women find themselves in when they're pregnant and they didn't plan to be pregnant are very difficult for them. Is that part of what you're saying?
Yes, and men usually aren't around or don't give a shit to stay around.
See, that's where I'm going to agree with you, that men should stay around and men should be held accountable for their actions, or they should be responsible in that situation. Can we at least agree on that?
Could. That doesn't make it happen.
I agree. So there's a practical problem that the women are stuck with, mm-hmm. right? And that's what you're speaking about.
If they're younger, they don't have the funds, they don't have the medical care. They don't have a lot of the things that they need to continue. Would that change some of their decisions? Sure.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you agree with what she's saying, that these situations are almost impossible for some of these women? They're very difficult.
And those are the women that we need to reach out to support, to let them know what those options are, stand by their side, and help them work through those options. And I do want to say this one blessing is, praise God that you gave your baby girl life, and she is the person that she is. Praise God the birth mother of my daughter gave her life, because I don't think that this world would be a better place without our two daughters. So what? Oh, sons. Okay. Sons. Life is life. And all I'm saying is this. I believe in my heart, through talking and meeting with birth moms, it's not that they want abortions. It's not that that's the answer for them. They are scared, and they don't.
Sometimes it is the answer for them.
They had more information and just more support and a broader idea of what their options are, they would be able to make that other option, because this is what I believe. I believe any young woman, and I've worked with a lot that have an abortion, are able to put those feelings down and keep them there for a long time. But eventually they surface, and they have to live with the fact of what has truly happened. And I think that girls that go through placing their babies for adoption live a more complete, healthier, happy life knowing they gave their babies life. And
Do you think that's true?
No. I think that most women, whatever decision they make that in good faith. They've thought it over. They have not taken it lightly. I don't think my advice was always to do what was best for them. I told them not to listen to mommy, to daddy, to the boyfriend, to anybody else, that they had to listen to their own heart.
Are you?
They had to do what was best for them.
In your own heart, do you, just in your own heart personally, do you believe that adoption is a...
Are you asking, is adoption a viable option for those women?
I think it's a great option if somebody can do it. I personally wasn't something I could do.
It sounds to me like you're saying that...
I have no problem with adoption. I'm just saying you cannot take away abortion as an option. It's wrong. I mean, just because it's not something that works for everybody, there are some women that it does work for, and I don't want to see it disappear back to back rooms and coat hangers.
And is your reason for saying that abortion is a viable option or should be, is that because you believe that abortion until a certain point doesn't take the life of a human being, or what's your view on that question?
My view is that it's a woman's choice.
You mean the woman chooses whether or not the unborn is a human being?
No, the woman chooses whether to continue with the pregnancy, because the pregnancy is only as viable as it is, only as viable as long as she wants to keep it in her body. It's her body to do what she wants with.
Meaning the embryo is part of her body?
Only as long as she wants it in her.
Okay, so do you, if someone, I guess I'm not sure what your view is on that question, because you're saying abortion is an option.
Go to court.
I'm sorry, I'm not sure. I'm not sure who's talking. Who's talking at this point? Would you like to? Hold on just a second. No, she's talking, and then you can jump in.
I just want to know what happens if the guy wants to keep it. You're saying it's her choice, but it took two people to make that baby.
Tom, the men aren't involved.
I'm sorry, we didn't get to hear your comment.
If the man's involved, he can go to court.
So you think the man should be able to argue for slept with and she got pregnant, that he should be able to go to court to argue that his fetus should be born 5 months from now or whatever it is?
Yeah. Why doesn't she have to go to court to argue that the fetus should be gotten rid of?
Well, she will be arguing against him, won't she?
But that's a double standard. She can make that choice whenever she wants, which I'm kind of against, but he has to go to court to argue for this.
So, didn't she be banned from getting abortions because you're against it? Nobody else should have the choice?
Well, I think the reason that pro-lifers might give for abortion being banned is that they think that it's the same kind of act as killing a one-year-old. It's killing a human in their mind. I'm not arguing right now for that position, but...
It's going to happen anyway, so you're going to let people go back to, you know, having it done in back rooms and increase the odds of dying horribly versus a sterile surgical procedure.
Go ahead.
So having an abortion isn't dying horribly for that baby?
Well, you know what? The baby's only there as long as the woman wants it to be there.
Okay, I'm going to let somebody else.
I just think, like, for the past 8 years when we were with President Bush, you have all this, and you should, instead of putting all this, just teach people how to have safe sex and not talk about abortion. Just use protection, birth control, instead of all this, and... We should talk more about stem cell research and things like that toward the future instead of talking of abortion.
Let me ask you this about condoms and birth control, safe sex. Is it your position that most students on this campus don't know about that?
I feel like a lot of people no.
Are condoms free on this campus in the health center?
I don't know. I buy my own condoms. I don't get them from here.
So for you, you didn't need me to stand up here today and educate you about condoms. Is that correct?
I feel like that's parents. Parents should, but some people don't have the privilege to have good parents to talk to them. And instead of having this, you should tell them, you know, you should have safe sex. And my point is,
let me ask you this. What if there was a woman who said, you know what, I'm tired of, I can't care for this 6-month-old anymore because it's really hard. And she said she was going to just kill that 6-month-old. And let's say that it was legal to do that in our country and lots of women were killing their 6-month-olds. Would it make sense for me to say, you know what we need? We don't need laws against killing 6-month-olds. You know what we need? We need better safe sex so that they don't produce them in the first place. Isn't that kind of odd to say?
I just feel like everyone has their own unique choice, and you're going to get all sorts of opinions here.
You are going to get different opinions, and does that mean nobody is correct about their opinion?
I just feel we're right now that it's pro-choice, and that we should go, just because the Bible says this and that. I was raised Catholic, you know, and just because President Bush said, you know something, we're going to not use any stem cell research for 8 years because I'm a Republican. I mean, stem cell research can do us so much benefit in the future, and we should be talking about that instead of talking about this.
Okay, now you've brought up three sources of authority in the last minute here. The Bible, President Bush, and the Republican Party. I've actually not referenced referenced any of those sources of authority, and I wouldn't in order to make my case against abortion. I think the reason everybody should be against abortion is because the unborn's a living human organism, and it's wrong to kill human organisms. I mean, it's wrong to kill one-year-old human organisms, right? It's wrong to kill anyone standing around here. And my question is, why is it wrong?
Like I already told you, you can't be killing something that doesn't have a heartbeat. I already asked you if you have a heartbeat, and I asked you, would you be alive without a heartbeat? And you said, no, I'd be dead.
But I would make a case, though, if I had the opportunity, that the unborn, even though he doesn't have a heartbeat, is still a living human organism. He just doesn't need a heartbeat in his first 3 weeks to live. You do, I do, but he doesn't.
Sure he does.
I'm sorry?
I said, sure he does. He's A, not self-sustaining, and B, he is potential for life, which is not the same as life.
At which stage are we talking about? Give me an example of an embryo that is a potential for life but not actually alive.
Any point in time that it is not self-sustaining.
So up until about 20 weeks or so when they can be born prematurely?
Sadly, yes.
Okay, so in your view, in his view, he's saying from 3 weeks on, in the embryo's life, in embryonic development, you have a living human organism. You're saying from about 20 weeks on, you have a living human organism. So we have a disagreement here. I say it's from fertilization. So which of these opinions is correct?
There isn't one. That's the point. That is the argument. It comes down to personal belief. It tends to be this is an emotional argument, which is unfortunate.
I didn't give any emotional arguments whatsoever in making my case here today.
I'm talking about the posters up there. I'm not talking about your discussion. But it's about personal belief, and that is the problem with the abortion debate or the pro-choice, pro-life debate. It becomes entirely emotional or personal belief systems, and unfortunately, I believe there's a bit of romanticization of what that child will become. And I can give you a different example. I can give you lots, actually. But for instance, I have a sister-in-law who has several miscarriages. And of course, she is going to grieve for the child that she's expecting, the hope she had for the future. But she did not lose a child. She lost the hope and the potential, what she expected to have.
Are you saying that the reason she was grieving was not necessarily that she had a child that died? It was because she had a hope that died.
Yes, she had something that she was anticipating for the future that would have been a child at birth. She also had a baby who was premature a bit. If he was several weeks premature, he's a wonderful child, that's great. But at 12 weeks, no, she lost what she saw, the potential that she had in the future. That path got closed off. She gets to grieve that, absolutely.
I agree with you that some women who grieve their miscarriages are not grieving for a human. They're grieving for a potential human, you could say, or just a hope of having a child.
But that is the case.
With every woman?
To me, okay. Your position that it is life, I understand that that's what you believe. I believe it's a romantic view, and I believe that it is any embryo, any early part of stage of pregnancy is the potential for life. It will become a child, but it's not a child automatically.
How would you respond to the evidence that I presented earlier that the leading embryology text, or one of the leading embryology texts in the world, Overhealy and Mueller's text, says that at fertilization, the unborn is a new, unique human organism? How would you respond to that that claim?
Of course it is. It has a new set of chromosomes that's unique to it. I'm fine with that. That doesn't make it a human being or a child. It has the potential to become that, who that is. It will, in that chemical environment of pregnancy in the uterus, it will become a child.
So it sounds like we agree that the unborn is a human organism, but where we disagree...
My tumor cell, so is my eye. I mean, it's a functioning set of cells that does a particular thing. I could take a stem cell out of your leg, and it's still a stem cell.
Well, that's not what Overhealy and Mueller mean by organism. They mean a more standard definition of a whole member of a species.
I don't believe it is. I believe it has the potential, and it will become that given the environment that it's in. If I don't have you in a pseudo-pregnant woman with that chemical environment, in that environment, it will not be. It has the potential to be. It has a unique set of chromosomes.
So the argument that I think I hear you making is that the reason this human organism is not a human being is because it's not viable. Is that accurate to what you're saying? I'm trying to make sure I understand.
I'm saying that it is a potential. It has the potential and is potentially will become, because you are pregnant, will become, and given goes to gestation with no problems, will become a child. And at any stage, early on in those pregnancies, I have no reason to feel guilt, shame, or to personify that organism as somehow being a child, that the child that it will become. I need to recognize what it is at the time and then what it is when it is born. There's a difference between the two.
So if you're right that let's say we're talking about a four-week embryo. You're right that if what that is only a potential human being, if what we mean by human being is someone with the same right to life that you and I have, is that a definition we can work with? When you say human being, we mean someone with the same right to life that you and I have.
Loosely, yeah, I'll go there.
Okay, so if it sounds like what you're saying is it's not a human being, but it could be a human organism, or and is the reason it's not a human being? Well, let me say this. You said it was a potential human being, right? Not an actual one. Mm-hmm. And I agree with you that if it is just a potential human being, namely a potential thing with the right to life, well, then it doesn't actually have the right to life at that point. If pro-life people say, you should care about the embryo. You should treat them like the rest of us because they're potentially human, or they're potential humans. If they say that, or they could potentially grow to be a human, if they say that, that would not be a good argument, because what it would mean, it's like saying that Hillary Clinton is a potential president, but she can wage war or do all the other things that presidents do.
No,
she. Right, you wouldn't say that Hillary Clinton has the right to wage war.
I don't think they have parallel.
Right. And the reason that they don't have parallel is because Hillary Clinton's only a potential president, right? So she doesn't have actual presidential rights. Would you agree with that?
Okay, so what you're saying is that
I'm saying you're making a good argument. I'm saying if the embryo is a potential human, I think you're right. Abortion should be legal.
Right, but I don't correlate that with Hillary Clinton potentially being president.
I was just making the philosophical point that a potential something, a potential X, doesn't have the rights of an actual X.
Except that for all intents and purposes, barring some sort of weird freak, a potential embryo, it's potentially life because that is the path it is on. That doesn't mean that Hillary Clinton is. If you told me that
I agree with her that she
to be president, right. If we don't interrupt this process,
right.
Then you have an analogy.
Okay, let's talk about President Obama in 2009, January 1st. He was not technically president yet, but he would have been elected president. Would you agree?
Go for it. I don't.
So at that point, he was a potential president. He did not have the right to wage war. He could not act as a president. And I would agree with you, if the embryo is just a potential human, he doesn't have the same rights as you or I. Now, my view is that it's not a potential human.
That's right.
Because it's actually of the human species. It's actually an organism. It's actually living. And I don't know what else to call a living human organism but a human being.
And that is a very black and white view that really there isn't an argument for. That's really the entire point. It's an emotional position.
I actually just made an argument. So if you can tell me how my argument is mistaken, I'd be glad to come out to change my view and agree with you. But I haven't heard any evidence to the contrary.
I haven't heard any evidence why it's a child, except that it will become a child if it stays in the embryo.
Okay, if I could give you evidence that it's a child, would that be helpful to you?
What makes it a child?
Okay, here's the argument I would make. It'll take like 30 seconds to lay it out, and then you can give me a response. If you look at everybody standing around here, I see lots of, 16 to 40-year-old, 50-year-old people standing around, right? If you look at all of those people and maybe take all the students enrolled at UTSA, it's about 30,000 people.
Right.
Okay, would you agree with me that they all deserve equal treatment?
Yeah.
Okay, at least in the basic right to life, right?
Well, and then, yes, in a number
and of freedom.
Strive for, yes.
Okay, so we agree that all these people standing around deserve equal treatment. And I think if they deserve equal treatment, there must be something about them that's actually the same. And so what I would ask you is, what is the same about all of us that demands that we treat each other equally?
They're self-sustaining, independent organisms.
And organisms of a certain...
recognized as part of this society, where this society has determined that we will extend these rights.
Okay, and so would you say any self-sustaining organism, including dogs and cows and gorillas, should be treated equally to humans?
No, because we as a society don't do that.
So you mean that it's all, they're all human organisms, is that correct?
Self-sustaining human people, yes, absolutely.
Okay, so it's the
same. Fully gestated, self-sustaining, yes, I'll go there.
So for you, it's the fact that they're self-sustaining?
For the most part, yes.
Okay, so self-sustaining humans is the thing we all have the same.
Yes, for the most part. To an accepted social level, yes.
And I think the difficulty that I have with that view is that we're not all self-sustaining to the same degree. Some of us are very self-sustaining. Others of us are very dependent. Some of us are disabled, and we can't get around without someone helping us. Some of us are very independently walking around, and we can run faster than anybody else. It seems to me that if that's the thing we all have the same, we're not very much the same in that way.
We've passed a line that we as a society have agreed upon. Yes, I do think we do. If I am in a terrible car accident and I lose brain function and I am sustained entirely on, for me personally, because this is a personal choice, and I am sustained entirely by medical science with no brain function, and I don't consider myself having a right to life. I understand that my family may want that, but go ahead and pull the plug.
Yeah, and that might be a case of you're no longer there, or you're no longer alive.
I don't believe that those few cells are there in any other capacity, except they potentially will become. They will gain consciousness as they grow.
But if consciousness is the thing that makes us all the same, we have all sorts of different levels of consciousness, and that means we should all, if that's the thing that grounds our rights, we should all have different levels of rights. We should have different levels of the right to life and different levels of the right to freedom and liberty, and that would mean some people could oppress other people.
It's a fact of life right now, because ideally we could save everybody. We could put people with terribly degenerative diseases would get the access to expensive medications and everything else that they need to sustain their life, and we simply cannot afford to. That's a valid goal.
But my point is that's,
we as a society have to make lines, because we can't do everything. Do I think it's a valid goal? Good. Kudos to you. I have no problem with that. But as a society, no, we don't. That's not a valid choice. And I don't believe that I should feel guilty or wrong. I personally, I don't think that there is, I don't think that I will convince you. I don't think that you will convince me. I'm open to hearing what you have to say, but I know that you've made your decisions, that it is life from the moment the sperm and the ovum meet.
Yeah, I actually think that I could be mistaken, and it would actually help me a lot if you could give me evidence that I am mistaken, because then I could stop doing this and I could do something else. I'm sorry?
I was just talking to someone over there.
Yeah, so I still, though, would need, a reason. I guess I still see there's a problem out there to be explained, and that is, why do we believe in equal treatment? There's nothing about us that's the same.
That is entirely based on our society. If you go to a variety of other societies, they do not believe in equal treatment.
You believe that women's rights, like the right of women to be treated equally to men, is just based on society?
Have you been around the world?
No, I think those other societies that oppress women are mistaken in a big way about a very important thing.
Exactly. I mean, I'm good with that.
We agree that they're mistaken?
Let me put it this way. Depends on which rights you're talking about.
Let's talk about the right to life.
Sure. Between men and women, I don't see a particular distinction why one woman should, a woman, based on sex, there's a need to distinguish whether an adult should be alive or dead.
And what I think is really cool about our discussion right now is that a minute ago, I misunderstood you. And I thought you were saying that all rights are just culturally constructed, which would mean that societies that say that it's virtuous to oppress women are actually correct about it. But it sounds to me like we actually do believe that there are real certain rights that are real that if a society disagrees with them, they're mistaken about it. But maybe you can clarify.
I believe we're mistaken. You don't believe that your ideas and your opinions are framed in any way by the culture that you grew up in?
No, I believe that the culture transmits certain kinds of ideas to me, but I think it would be hard for them to transmit certain ideas to me if I didn't already believe them in some sense, have them inside of me, for example, in a conscience or in... it'd be hard to teach someone that it's wrong to hurt someone else if you didn't already have some seed or kernel of that inside of you. So I think what a culture does is it helps you to grasp that thing that is true. Similar to 2 + 2 = 4, I don't think you could understand that if you didn't already have the truth somewhere inside of you to understand it.
See, then we disagree on that, because culture is about building humans. It's building more people to be in my culture, in my society. So if I were to take someone from a completely different social background, that's why they have, there's different cultural norms.
I totally agree with you that people, that cultures grow up differently, that people, yeah. We'll let you talk in just a moment. I agree with you, though, that cultures, that people grow up differently in different cultures. That's like a fact.
Their sense of the rights that are extended within their society, the decisions that they make, depending on what you eat, don't eat, other choices that you make, mutilation, whatever else, are entirely cultural based. And I'm asking you whether you would agree that some of your perceptions, and what you're saying is that while there is some culture, you have deep-seated perceptions that are just the core of all humanity.
Well, I think there are certain objective truths about what's right and wrong, for example, and how people should treat women, or how we should treat each other, men or women, or different races. I think there is objective truth about that, and we could be more or less mistaken, depending on how we line up with that standard.
But are they a fundamental truth, or are they simply for the benefit of society?
Well,
because social pressure is to continue the species, regardless of whether we have self-consciousness, we believe we do, et cetera, but there are some pressures that form the choices we make as a society. It's irresponsible to when we don't know, go with a romantic view that hurts and impacts society in such negative ways, especially one particular gender. Because it really does, you know. And there's a lot of supports. I'm not against hearing what you have to say. I've learned quite a number of new things. I know these gentlemen would like to speak. My main question was, I wanted to know, it's okay. I just wanted to know more about your definition, besides the fact that Mueller said that the original cells are a unique organism. I don't know how that equates with being a child.
Yeah, and I think what I was doing when I quoted Ove Healy and Mueller was just trying to get a baseline of common ground. Most people that I talk to will agree that the unborn from fertilization, I won't say most, a lot of people will agree that from fertilization the unborn is an organism in the sense that you're an organism and I am. But that doesn't necessarily equate with being a child, as you're saying.
I would not say that it's an organism, because it doesn't have enough cells to be an organism yet. It will become an organism.
Okay, and so you have to have some kind of, like, developed organs or something to be an organism?
Well, it goes cells, organs, organism. So multiple organs functioning together in a complete holistic unit.
Yeah.
So if those couple of cells are not that, they have unique chromosomes, so as they develop, they will become an organism that is a unique organism. They happen to have a human biology. They will be a unique human organism. But they are not, when they're a couple of cells, I don't believe they are. They have their own functioning in utero.
So if those couple of cells become organs and become an organism, how do those couple of cells know how to do that? If they're not already an organism developing the organs out of their internal identity?
Through the environment, the chemical hormones, and all the other...
The mother's body actually tells it to be an organism after a while?
No, you can do it artificially too. I mean, I could take a stem cell out of your bone marrow, and it can be differentiated into any. But that's what a stem cell is. It's a cell that is not yet differentiated.
Well, there are
a couple of cells. They must become liver cells, neuron cells, epithelial cells, all the other different muscle cells.
And they become a whole organism.
Your stem cell, yes.
well, certain stem cells, I think for clarity, certain stem cells early in the process, the two-cell conceptus there, both of those cells, I think many scientists believe that if you separated them, they are totipotent, meaning they can become a whole organism.
The complex system that has to do, that's why so many pregnancies fail all on their own before a woman even knows she's pregnant. It's very complex.
How does the one-celled zygote or the two-celled conceptus that has two totipotent cells in it, how do they know to do that?
There's courses and courses on biochemistry and cell physiology.
And my challenge to all of us would be, if we look at... Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks. I'm going to get to someone else who ever would like to come and talk on the open mic. You can. Just come up here and we'll let you talk. What do you want to say?
All I want to say on the topic is, for starters, I've morally believe in the whole right to life concept. However, when you've got somebody going out trying to make the right to life into a law, to force our beliefs on someone else, that's where I take issue. Because, for example, there are religions out there who believe all forms of medical treatment are wrong. So if they were in power and set a law that all medical treatment is wrong and illegal, then everybody who got sick is going to die.
Let me ask you a question, because I think that's helpful. What have you heard of Peter Singer?
No.
He's a Princeton philosopher who argues and has been arguing for almost, like more than 30 years. He's been arguing that that not only embryos and fetuses are not human persons, but that newborns are not human persons. And he believes that you can kill newborns, should be able to kill newborns, until 30 days after birth. So let's say, just in a hypothetical thought experiment, which Peter Singer would be in favor of since he's a great philosopher, let's say that Peter Singer and his wife get pregnant, and they, for some reason, don't get an abortion. They give birth to the child, and they now have a two-day-old. Now, would you agree that even though he believes he should be able to kill the two-day-old, he can't in our society?
According to the current structure of the law, yes.
So wouldn't you agree we are forcing Peter Singer to not act according to his beliefs?
At that point, yes.
So it seems to me that any law probably forces somebody to not act according to their beliefs. Shouldn't our question be whether their beliefs are true or false?
The truth or falsehood of all of our beliefs, you know, depending on what you believe, will come out in the end. So if I act in direct opposition to my beliefs, I think that I'll go to hell. But then again, somebody who's an atheist would say, if I don't act according to my beliefs, I just feel bad. Now, as far as, you know, whether or not that should be a law, that's a question of, you know, of taking the majority stance, and the majority stance would not be that of belief that a human child prior to birth or prior to however many weeks having that right.
Well, I think it's hard to know what majority belief is on that question, because polling on this question of abortion and the unborn and the embryo, polling on that question is notoriously vague. People are asked, are you pro-life or pro-choice? I have no idea what that question means. People are asked, do you think Roe v. Wade is a good decision? I have no idea what they mean when they say it is. In fact, when pollsters say, should Roe be overturned? Roe was that decision, and they'll actually define it this way, that legalized abortion in the first trimester. See, the reason most people say Roe should not be overturned is because the way it's framed in the poll actually says that abortion is only legal in the first trimester, according to Roe. That's actually false. According to Roe, abortion is legal through all 9 months, and I can give more explanation of that if somebody would like me to. But my point is that pollsters don't actually... they don't actually give us specific enough questions to know what most people believe. So I'm actually, 41% of people say that abortion should be legal if the reason that the woman gives in the first trimester is, well, if she just doesn't want it for any reason. 41% say it should be legal. That means that more than 50% think it should be illegal for that reason, and that leads me to believe that people are just confused on what the issue, or they just think it's case by case, and we need to ask more specific questions to see what the public really thinks.
Honestly, I think the issue of abortion is primarily And at the most important level, it's a moral decision which people have to live with on the basis of their own beliefs, their own morality.
And you personally think it's wrong to have an abortion?
I think in most instances it's wrong, and there's exceptions, just like there's exceptions to most rules out there.
And why do you think it's wrong to have an abortion, say, in the first trimester, if the woman says, like one of the most common reasons, I'm too poor to have a child? Why is it wrong in that case?
If the justification for this abortion would be, you know, financial instability, there are ways to get help. You just need to look.
But what if she says, look, it's just my body, it's my choice?
Well,
doesn't our reason have to be deeper than just she has other options?
Well, what I believe and what she believes are very likely to be different.
What do you believe that makes you say that it should not be legal in that case?
I just think that it's morally wrong.
But why is it wrong?
Why is it wrong? Just the way that my understanding of the religious text that I've read.
It's wrong to, but I guess, why, yeah, you can go, that's okay. All of us standing around, I think, have to answer that question. If we think it's wrong to kill anyone, I think we should ask the question, why is it wrong? Why is it wrong to kill the two-year-old? Why is it wrong to kill the elderly adult? You can have what do all of us think about that? Is the reason we think it's wrong because it's a human? Or, as the woman said earlier, because it's a child? Or there's some kind of extra value that it has over just being an organism? If that's why it's wrong, then is the fetus also a human? Or a child in the terminology that she used. What do all the rest of you think? Someone else who would like to be on the open mic? We have just an open opportunity. Would you like to share on the open mic? You're next.
My name's Kyle. Nice to meet you guys.
Hi, Kyle.
Hi. This is what I like to say from the beginning. There's been a lot of ideas and a lot of communication going on, but I think a lot of it is basically not even addressing the elephant in the room. Now, I'm going to make a statement, and let me know if I'm wrong in this statement.
Come over here, Kyle, because we're feeding back. Sorry about that.
When a woman, not a woman, obvious, when a woman, the predominant reason that a woman, under my opinion, would get an abortion is because something has happened to her that she didn't want to happen. Would that be a correct?
Yes.
Okay, so one person. So something happened to her that's unwanted. Unwanted. Now, just give you a little background. 11 days ago, I was in Yad Vashem. Do you know what that is? Yad Vashem is in northern Jerusalem, and it's the Holocaust Museum. And you walk through, and at the end, it's kind of even hard to even express what it's like, because it's a lot similar to this. Honestly, no offense to your sign, but it's really well put together and really well done. And,
wait, are you saying our signs are well done, or Yad Vashem is well done?
Oh, Yad Vashem is beautiful. It's millions and millions of dollars. And,
well, if we had millions and millions of dollars, we might come up with something a little different.
No offense on your sign, I think it's great. But
that's okay. I'm not taking offense.
But here's the whole concept. When you walk through, you begin to feel what they felt like. That's the whole idea behind the whole museum. And there's this sense that the main proponent behind the whole movement was that those people, these people, wherever you draw the line, those people over there are unwanted. Those people over there are poor. Those people over there are not with us. But I think that's one thing that all of humanity has to understand, is that we are all in this together. Because we are all made, as those people have told us long ago, we are all made in the image of God. And that's universal. It doesn't matter whether you're tall or small or big, or it doesn't matter where you live, whether you live in Texas or whether you live in a womb, wherever you are, there's a great, great singularity in the diversity around us. And so this is my point, is that when we begin to treat people like they're unwanted, when we begin to devalue people, well, that's when they start goose-stepping in and start marching and saying, these people over here, let's isolate them from our society. These people aren't wanted. We don't need them. And that's the most dangerous place that a human can say is, I have no need of you. because we have great need for one another. We have great, there's a great dependency in all of us. And although I believe in America and we should be independent in a sense, I think that's our greatest flaw, is saying, I have no need of any of you. That's just what I wanted to say.
Thanks. And, yeah. And let me, yeah, question, yeah. Why don't you stay here and we might have a dialogue?
I'm going to be late to my next class if I do that.
No problem.
When I say unwanted, I mean rape or incest. And I don't think any man has the right to tell a woman what to do with her own body. And I see these men up here. This is a woman's choice. It's her personal choice. You don't know what it's like to be raped.
Well, and I'll go ahead. We'll let anybody talk here.
A man does not have this right.
The right to do what?
To tell a woman what she must do with her body. A man doesn't know what it's like to be raped by a family member.
I'm sorry?
I know what it's like to be raped and I'm pregnant.
And I'm not
killing my baby.
I'm not going to tell you what you have to do with your body.
Jesus,
that
is God is pro-life.
Not everyone has the same religion. This is a country of freedom of choice.
Did I kill my baby?
You have the right. You have the right to choose.
So you're going to tell us she doesn't deserve to?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm saying more power to your ability to make your own decision.
No, no, it's okay. You're welcome to be
here.
I just want one at a time.
I have children as well. I don't want to tell you what to do, and I don't want any other man trying to control a woman's body.
Can I just agree with you on something? I think that there have been a lot of years in our history in America, and if you go around, if you expand it to around the world, it's still happening in even more extreme ways, but I would agree it's still happening here, where men have oppressed women. Can we at least agree on that?
Yes.
And it sounds to me like that's a lot of what's animating your concern here, is that it seems like those who oppose abortion are, many of them are men who are trying to oppress women. Ultimately, I'm not saying that they want to oppress women in their minds, but it sounds like there's this sense that there's some kind of underlying oppression going on.
Look, there's men up here talking about this.
Well, I'm trying to agree with your point, though. I'm trying to agree that men oppress women.
Exactly. I'm saying a woman should have this right to decide between her and her God, which may not be the same God as yours. You have that right, and I honor that. But you should honor in this country, which is supposed to welcome different religions, so there's not another Holocaust. This is a country of freedom.
Sure. And you see abortion or the women's right to choose whether or not to terminate a pregnancy, would you see that as a kind of a fundamental freedom that she has?
I see, yes, a freedom to do with your body what you, on your own moral grounds, your own background, your own upbringing, your own experience. Let me ask you, if you were raped by your father and you became pregnant, would you want to have the baby? Do you even know how to go there?
Well,
as a man, could you even go to that?
Well, I have daughters, and so you could ask me, if one of my daughters was raped, would I want her to not have an abortion? Is that what you're asking?
If your daughter was raped, would I want her... No, well, I'm not going to put it in the terms that I just did regarding you.
That's okay. I'm not offended.
I'm saying if a father rapes his daughter...
Okay. Yeah. Do I want her to have an abortion or not? Do I want her to have the child? Well, my concern is I don't want her to be pregnant in that situation. But if she is pregnant, I think she already has a child. And so I think it really comes down to that question of, is the embryo a child or is it a mass of tissue? Because if it's a mass of tissue, I think what you're saying makes perfect sense. If it's a child, then I think it's a lot like saying that if a woman has a one-year-old and she doesn't want the one-year-old, and maybe the one-year-old was a product of rape, then she should, you know, it should be able to kill that one-year-old. But I don't think that's your position. I think it probably your position is that the embryo is not a child. Is that your position?
You're trying to use rhetoric, fear.
No, I'm just trying to understand what your perspective is, and I'm really not trying to. How am I using rhetoric? And I'll let you talk in just a moment.
A mass of tissue, not a child. Do you think these it's easy or something to decide to have an abortion?
No, not at all. I'm not saying it.
Do you think a woman doesn't have torment when she makes this decision? Do you think that men that kill other children in war, do you think the soldier in Vietnam that killed babies, do you think that they should have not killed that child that was going to throw a bomb at them? What I'm saying is there are different circumstances in life.
Yeah.
A person in this country, not all countries have this choice. In some places, you're killed as a woman if someone rapes you. So
I agree that that's evil.
This is a free country. Not everyone has the same religious views you have. Putting this kind of material up here like this in order to try to make people feel horrible,
yeah,
and for no other reason than to make a woman feel horrible, you can have options other than this.
Well, I agree that it would be wrong for me to put that material up there just to make people feel horrible. That's actually not the reason we put it up there. I don't know where you got that idea.
Does everybody out here feel horrible looking at this?
Yes. I feel horrible knowing that people did.
Does it make you feel good? Does it make you want to go have an abortion?
Okay, I'm going to get some other people. No, she's been waiting for a long time.
I mean, like, no offense, I'm just standing here as a woman who is pregnant right now. At 3 weeks, when I was pregnant and went to the doctor, I heard my baby's heartbeat. If a human being has a heartbeat, it is a freaking person. Murder is murder no matter what. My aunt can't have children, and she would love to adopt unwanted babies. You don't have to keep it just because you were raped. You don't have to keep it if you don't want it, but there are millions of women out there who can't conceive and want that baby. You don't have to kill it. If it has a beating heart, it's alive. Murder is wrong.
Can I ask you a question? Can you, the woman who was just up here, she had a lot of concerns about the oppression of women and the circumstances women find themselves in. Is there anything that you heard her say that you can agree with?
Honestly, no. I'm sorry. Even as a victim of rape, I have been raped before. I've been raped on 3 different occasions. Do you think that I was going to just kill a child because I was raped? My pregnancy now was unplanned. In no way was it planned. I was on birth control. I didn't choose to have a child. I was in the 20% failure rate. But guess what? Me and my fiancé stepped up and said, we made this baby and we're going to take care of it. It's okay to have a baby. You just have to know what to do.
And we really appreciate you sharing, being willing to share your story with us. Can I ask you this? Are the circumstances surrounding your pregnancy easy? Would you say you have, I don't know, $10,000 in the bank? You're independently wealthy. Or is it hard?
Honestly, in no way is it easy. When I got pregnant, I lost my job because I wasn't able to make it back and forth to work because I was busy throwing up over a toilet. I have been forced to go from a middle-class citizen who had her own means of insurance, who took care of herself, to now I'm on Medicaid because I have to make sure that this baby gets here by itself. In no way am I some welfare mom, but the only way I can go to my doctor's appointments was to sign up for Medicaid to make sure that I can do whatever it takes to take care of this child because I can't pay for $50 prescription pills. Not every week. I can't. I just can't do it. And it's like, true, once upon a time, I had that life. I've lost my car to take care of this baby, so now I ride a bus every day. But I made the decision to have sex, whether I took the birth control pills or not. I made that decision to have sex, and I'm going to make the decision to push out this baby.
Thanks so much for sharing. So I actually found something that you agreed with her about. You agree with this woman who is just here that the circumstances surrounding unplanned pregnancy are really difficult.
Yeah, they're difficult.
You don't agree with her conclusion, right?
I mean,
but you agree with her about that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
It's never going to be easy to have a baby. Think about what your parents went through. 18 years of your bullshit and they're still dealing with it. Think about it. It's never going to be easy. Like, seriously, which one of us never fought with our parents? Which one of us never gave them hell? How would you feel if they killed you because they didn't want you?
Let me ask you this. Do you think that some of the people who have been talking on open mic today, do you think that the points that they've been making would actually make a lot of sense if what you're carrying right now is not a real human child, and let's just say hypothetically that it was just a kind of a blob of cells that is kind of feeding off your body. If it was just a blob of cells of some type, would their position that abortion should be legal, would that make sense?
Honestly, if it has a heartbeat, whether it's just a blob of cells or not, it is a living, breathing organism, and you're not supposed to kill it.
Well, let's say it's a blob of cells with a heartbeat. Let's say it's a beating blob of cells.
If it's a bleeding blob of cells, I'm not killing it. I'm sorry. At 3 weeks, when I heard my baby's heartbeat, I fell in love automatically. You don't just kill some human. That's like asking, okay, is it okay for some serial killer to come up and say, well, this lady's pregnant and I don't like the fact that she's pregnant, and since she's only 2 weeks, I'm going to kick her in her stomach so she loses the baby. That's not right. It's the same thing. You're becoming a serial killer by constantly killing the child that you made.
I think for many people there's a difference, and the difference is in the case of someone who kicks a pregnant woman, that's a wanted child. In the case of a woman who gets an abortion, that's an unwanted child. And I think that's what many people think is the difference. In fact, on the other side of our exhibit, that's what we highlight, is that Samuel Armis was a wanted child. We gave him a $35,000 fetal surgery to fix his spina bifida. The child that's next to him on the panel was an unwanted child who got a different kind of surgery, abortion. It's not meant to heal him, not meant to help him, it's meant to kill him. And so I think that's the difference that many people would bring out.
But unwanted children deserve a chance to live too. I'm sure there's a lot of people here who have felt unwanted. So just because you feel unwanted doesn't mean you should die, or just because people don't want you doesn't mean you should go kill yourself. It doesn't.
I think that's a great point for all of us to remember, that we're valuable even if we feel unwanted or kind of out of the loop, so to speak. Thanks so much for sharing your opinion. This is an open mic, and you can come and share on the open mic. You're next in a moment, but I'm going to let you're next.
Sure. What I wanted to say was, as a woman that stands up for feminist rights, I think it should be included to stand up for the unwanted women in the womb, that we need to start standing up not just for, you know, wanted women. If you're going to be a feminist and say that you're for women's rights, be for all of women's rights. Don't just draw the line here, you know? And then when it comes to men, you need to start standing up for, yeah, that'd be you guys, everyone here, you know, for men. Women, we're called to protect our children. That's why you look at it like from an evolutionary standpoint. Why is it that children are in the womb? Because it's supposed to be the safest, most protective place for that child. You know, we're called to be protectors of that child. And men, you're supposed to be respectful of those women. You're supposed to stand up and defend that life and those women and their children. And when we're coming down to it, abortion is not doing that. It is not saying, you know, that we're helping women. It's not a fundamental right like voting or something that's so liberating. It's not. It's a sign that we failed women, that we're not giving them the resources that are needed, you know, so they don't feel that this is the ultimate choice. So we need to start standing up for the children in the womb. We need to start being there for the women. You know, we need to, then you guys need to start standing up and doing your duty too. I'm going to call you guys out because, you know, it takes two to tango, and we all need to get together and collaborate to see how we can effectively, you know, help the situation rather than kill what is a product of something that happened. So as a woman, when someone's coming up and saying, you know, it's a woman's issue, yeah, it is a woman's issue, you know, but it's a human issue. We're all for equality. That's the purpose of feminism, is equality of all humans. So all of us need to be getting together, standing up for life. And if you're interested, there's a pro-life table over there for the group at UTSA. So I would challenge all of you guys to think about that, do your research on it, and really evaluate the logic behind the choice to see what is it really that choice that, you know, you're standing for. And from there, take a stand. Do something about it.
And I happen to know who you are. This is Megan. Megan's the president of a club on campus that you just mentioned. Just tell us the name of that club, since it is the host club for this exhibit.
It is called, it's a pro-life group on campus, and we are from the womb to the tomb, meaning that we are from conception to natural death, and the name of the group is Students for Right to Life.
How can people get involved in that if they want to?
We have meetings every Monday at 7 p.m. in the Travis Room. We also have a Facebook page where you can do Students for Right to Life, UTSA, it should come up. We have a groupspace.com/Students for Right to Life, UTSA. We have information over there. We are eager to meet other pro-lifers who are willing to take a stand on this issue because it is very much needed. We need exhibits like this to bring awareness, to bring dialogue in a peaceful manner so that we can actually make a change, because putting it up on the shelf and saying it's a political issue and nobody talking about it is not going to do anything.
Okay, Megan, you just said dialogue. So to me, with that, having written a book on the concept of dialogue, that means two positions that disagree. So do you welcome pro-choice people to come to your club meetings?
Absolutely.
And would you welcome them protesting your table?
Yeah, absolutely. That's their right to protest.
Would you welcome them posting on your Facebook wall?
Nope. I would absolutely welcome the dialogue we have before, as long as it is in a peaceful dialogue manner. The second it becomes a debate, I'm sorry, but that's not dialogue anymore. So I would have to say, you know, peace out, see you, if you're not going to do it in an effective manner.
So you just, even if someone totally disagrees with you and you don't like their position, you still want to talk to them?
Oh, absolutely. Or else, I mean, there's no change that comes about that, I mean, at all. If we can't have a dialogue and talk about the issue at hand, what does that solve?
So that's your purpose in being here, is that right? Bringing the exhibit?
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to get some other folks on the mic here. You've been waiting for a long time. Thanks for waiting. We're going to just spend a couple more minutes here on open mic, so we're going to let you guys get on the mic here, and then it'll just be a few minutes.
All right, I may say something that's going to get a little bit of people mad here.
Is it going to get me mad?
I'm not sure.
Because if it does, no, go ahead.
All right, what's the normal breakfast you eat?
My breakfast?
Where you go to Denny's, what's on their menu usually?
Usually eggs for breakfast.
Really? Eggs?
That's what I had this morning.
Oh, so you didn't have...
We're cage-free, though. I want you to know.
Oh, so you didn't have baby aborted chickens. That's not what you call them. You call them eggs, right?
My understanding of eggs is that they're not fertilized, and if I had an egg that was fertilized and I put it in the skillet and I cooked it up, I think I wouldn't be having eggs. I'd probably be having little, like, chicken cells that are, I don't know, that wouldn't be very good.
Like balut, right?
I don't know what that is.
The Filipino food, it's balut.
So eating little baby chickens?
Basically.
Yeah, but if I eat eggs, they're not baby chickens.
Yes, I understand, but...
Because they're unfertilized, right?
They're unfertilized, yes, you are
correct. Go ahead. No, go ahead, I didn't mean to pull the mic away from you. Go ahead.
You're correct about that, but, alright. Crap. You know, you got me.
I got you how? I mean, for the sake of the audience, what do you mean? Because my purpose up here is not to get people. My purpose is clarity about what's true about abortion and the unborn. And so I see you as a fellow seeker of what's true. None of us want to believe false things, right? No one gets up in the morning and says, hey, you know what, I'm going to go find somebody to deceive me today. That's why I'm here, right? So we all want to believe things that are true, not things that are false. And I think we're kind of seeking that together. So my purpose isn't to get somebody. But what do you mean by that?
Meaning I was trying to make a counterpoint, but you kind of...
Well, why don't you lay that counterpoint out there so that people can see that it's not a good point, if that's what you think?
Okay, well, you see, if somebody doesn't have a lot of money or anything like that, if they're in high school, you know, if they want to get their abortion, that should be their own little deal. You shouldn't have the right to tell other people what they can and cannot do with their own bodies. She should not have the right to say it's wrong. Everybody comes from different backgrounds, different cultures, different religions.
Sure.
If you want to believe something, you shouldn't you
anybody, not you personally, I'm talking about the decision as a whole. Nobody should be able to tell anybody, except in America. I mean, other parts of the world, you know, maybe it gets a little iffy there, but in America, you shouldn't be able to say, hey, I'm not going to let you do this to your own body. Abortions were being done for hundreds of years, you know, and you should not be able to tell somebody, no, you are going to have this baby just because you had sex.
I totally agree with you. If. Oh, that's not the right time to give you the mic. Sorry. If the unborn's not a human being, I think you're absolutely correct. Yeah. And I should stop caring about arguing against abortion. I should think that it should be legal. Because if the unborn is not a human being, why would anybody argue that a woman should not be allowed to do what she wants with her a part of her body? The unborn isn't a part of her body, though, because if it were, then a woman who's carrying a male child would have a penis. How can it be a part of her body?
I'm sorry. All I kind of got is you said something.
I said the P word?
Yes, and I just, like, kind of... What the... All right.
Well, I mean, the point is, we say the unborn's a part of the woman's body, and I agree it's in her body. I agree it affects her body. I agree pregnancy's very difficult. My wife has been pregnant now 3 times, and pregnancy's difficult. In fact, she's sitting over there in front of the volunteer information table. You could go ask her if you wanted. But pregnancy's difficult. The embryo doesn't have no effect on the woman, but it can't be seen as just a functional part of her body. Is that what you mean when you say it's a part of her body?
Excuse me. Yes. Thank you. But, yeah, it's a part of her body until it starts to, you know, gain consciousness.
Okay, so there's something that's essential to our humanness that gives us our rights is consciousness. Is that your view?
Yes.
Well, wouldn't that mean that if that's the basis of your rights and my rights, if you're more conscious than I am, by whatever standard, let's say we use a brainwave standard, and you have a stronger brainwave pattern than I do, or it registers more strongly on the scale, and mine is less, then shouldn't you have the right to oppress me?
I shouldn't have the right, but oppression has been done for thousands of years. It's still done today.
Agreed, but I don't know how that makes oppression right. I'm saying that if consciousness is our standard of right and wrong, like our standard of why I have rights, then some people have more consciousness and therefore more rights.
Do you ever eat meat?
If you can tell me how it's relevant to the discussion, I'd be glad to tell you my eating practices.
We oppress live things all the time.
No doubt. We kill cows. We even torture cows in some cases, although I'm against cow torture. Are you against that?
I'm against cow torture, but I love eating my meat.
And why do you eat meat?
Because it tastes good.
But what if, like, some cows, like baby cows, right after they come out of their mother's womb, they actually are more functional than infants. Like human infants. So if functional ability is what gives us our value, then shouldn't we put the calf in the house and put the baby in the barn? I mean, why do we treat cows different? Why do we treat them as less than if they have more conscious ability than newborns? It's okay if you don't have an answer. That's okay. We'll move on to somebody else, or you can have the last word.
Go ahead and move on.
Okay. What do you want to say?
Okay.
Couple minutes left on the open mic. Go ahead.
I don't know if anybody addressed this, but I think women that get an abortion and don't tell the men are fucked up, because there's some guys like me that are like, hey, I'll keep the baby. I'll take care of it. Move back a little bit, man.
The reason I'm putting the mic towards your face is just that otherwise people can't hear you.
Oh. Can y'all hear me? We're good? All right. Sure. So... my point is, hey, let the man know. I know it's, I guess, your choice, but like she said, well, where'd she go? Oh, it takes two to tango.
Yeah.
So,
all right,
tell everybody.
Thanks for sharing. And you'll be last on the open mic today.
No.
He's had a lot of opportunity. Did you have something else? Do you feel like you got interrupted?
A little bit, yeah.
You mean I interrupted you?
No, that girl came up and interrupted me when I was speaking. I didn't get to finish my point.
Great. We'll let you finish in just a moment. We'll let you have the last word. But you get the second to last word.
All right. I'd like to ask my forgiveness. I'm not very eloquent.
I can speak for everybody. We forgive you.
Thank you. You all see me, you all see the apparatus on my legs. I was born with something called a limb sacromyelomeningocele, also known as spina bifida. And first of all, let me say this. I cannot speak for women who have been raped. I am neither a woman, nor have I ever been sexually assaulted. And my heart goes out to those kind of people, and I'm not going to tell them what to do, because I've never been there, and it must be hard enough to do that kind of thing. Now, let me say this. Let me give you something to think about. There are a lot of cases where an aborted child happens to be disabled. They are born with some kind of congenital deformity, like spina bifida, Down syndrome, other kinds of disabilities. These parents are looking for basically perfection. They want a perfect child. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but there is no such thing as perfection. At this very moment, millions of organisms are dying, planets are exploding, molecules are breaking apart, atoms are breaking apart. There's destruction and change everywhere. There is no such thing as perfection, and there never will be. So why expect that from an unborn child? I mean, look at me. I'm 20 years old. I have an IQ of 145. I live a great life. I was adopted, but that was probably the best thing my biological mother could ever do for me. So, it's just something for you to think about.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. And you'll have the last word, and then what I would encourage you to do in just a moment when we turn the mic off, I'd encourage you to turn to the person next to you and do what you can't do on Facebook, which is actually talk to a real human about a real issue that affects really all of us. I'd encourage you to just ask the person next to you, so what do you think? So we'll give you the last word.
2 points. First point, real simple. If society has no absolutes, society will ultimately become the absolute. That's simply put, that if there is no objective standard for morality, like a universal moral law, then there's no basis to make moral claims. That means whoever is in power, whoever has the most authority, will make the power. And then everyone who cannot defend themselves will be trodden under their feet. Second point. Now, a little history of the Jewish people. In the history of the Jewish people, in their darkest hour, in their religion, they sacrificed children in their temple, the place that they were supposed to meet with God, the God who created the heaven and the earth. They actually sacrificed children in this temple. It was the darkest hour of their nation. But as the Apostle Paul says, you are a temple of God. And I think in our darkest hour, we have sacrificed children in our temples. Thank you.
All right, and that's going to conclude our open mic session today. And again, the person next to you probably has a really interesting opinion, and they might even agree with you on some things if you ask enough questions. So that's really our goal here, is to create dialogue by asking questions with an open heart, listening to understand, and then trying to find common ground when possible. And we believe that'll move this discussion forward. So I challenge you, talk to the person next to you. Thanks for listening to the open mic today.